Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of 3Tune Tuesday. I am your host, Bonaparte, and this is my opportunity to whisk you away to a time when wind-up phonographs were the height of technology, and the art of recording was still a wonder of musical acoustics. Today is Tuesday, April the 16th, and you have found your way to my digital abode, a quaint cottage nestled in the sprawling digital countryside, where all are welcome. Please, step inside, make yourself comfortable. Envision yourself settling into a large, plush Victorian chair, the kind that envelops you in comfort with an old-fashioned stand-up radio beside you. Close your eyes, and let me guide you on a journey through time to listen to the music of Paul Whiteman. Today, our focus narrows to a figure, Paul Whiteman, whose influence on jazz and popular music is truly unparalleled. Paul Whiteman is the king of jazz, and though the title may stir debate among jazz purists, there is no denying the pivotal role that Whiteman played in bringing jazz to the forefront of American culture and beyond. His orchestral renditions of jazz compositions bridged the gap between the genre's improvisational roots and the concert hall, thereby crafting a new soundscape that captivated an entire generation. And in an age where the crackle of a needle on shellac was the heartbeat of musical life, Paul Whiteman's orchestra became the pulse of an era. As we sift through these annals of the early 20th century, we'll explore how his innovations in music recording and performance mirrored the technological marvels of the time. Unlike many jazz musicians whose talents were honed in the vibrant streets of New Orleans or the bustling clubs of Chicago, Whiteman's musical education was firmly rooted in the classical tradition. He mastered the violin and viola, immersing himself in the compositions of the great European masters. Yet even as he honed his craft, the winds of change were blowing, carrying with them the whispers of a new kind of music that would soon captivate the nation. It was during his tenure with the San Francisco Symphony that Whiteman's ears were truly opened to the seductive rhythms of jazz, a genre that was just beginning to weave its spell across America. Intrigued by its improvisational energy and syncopated rhythms, Whiteman envisioned a grand fusion of this burgeoning sound with the orchestral music he knew so well. This vision would not only define his career, but also shape the course of American music. In these formative years, as Whiteman transitioned from classical musician to jazz pioneer, he carried with him the precision and depth of his classical training, setting the stage for a revolutionary approach to jazz that would earn him both acclaim and controversy. But as any great artist knows, innovation often walks hand in hand with contention. The song Whispering, released in August 1920 by Paul Whiteman and his Ambassador Orchestra, was a phenomenon. This enchanting composition, originally penned by John Schonberger with lyrics by Melvin Schonberger and Richard Coburn, was transformed under Whiteman's direction into a jazz standard that captivated the nation. It wasn't merely heard, it was felt. A whispering breeze that swept across dance floors and through the speakers of newly minted radio sets. What made whispering so revolutionary was not only its harmonious blend of instruments, but its embodiment of the jazz age's spirit. It was a harmonious rebellion, a gentle yet undeniable declaration that jazz was not just music, but it was also an experience. Whiteman's arrangement brought a sophistication to jazz, making it accessible to audiences beyond the smoky clubs, introducing it into the parlors and grand ballrooms of America. Now, as whispering soon begins to fill our digital cottage, let it transport you back to an era of flappers and speakeasies and of innovation and excitement. Picture the gramophone's horn releasing this melody into a room aglow with anticipation, the notes floating like whispers over a crowd spellbound by the allure of jazz. And it's with this song, whispering, that Whiteman established his presence in the music world, earning him the title, the King of Jazz. Now, as the last notes of Whispering fade into the warm embrace of our digital cottage, let's take a moment to indulge in another kind of warmth, a warmth that comes from a cup of coffee cradled between your hands, with steam rising like a melody into the air. Yes, dear listeners, it's time for a brief intermission brought to you by Skeleton Brew Coffee. In a world that moves at the speed of the internet, where moments are fleeting and the new becomes old in the blink of an eye, Skeleton Brew Coffee invites you to pause, to savor, and to immerse yourself in the ritual of coffee brewing and enjoying. Just as we celebrate the timeless music of Paul Whiteman, Skeleton Brew cherishes the timeless art of coffee making. Skeleton Brew isn't just any coffee. It's a journey back to the roots, to the essence of what makes coffee magical. Sourced from the finest beans, each blend is a testament to history, to cultures that have perfected the craft of coffee cultivation through generations. And like the meticulous arrangement of a Whiteman symphony, Skeleton Brew's roasting process is an art form in itself, designed to awaken every note of flavor contained within the beans. So as we take this brief respite in our musical voyage, imagine the perfect cup of Skeleton Brew coffee by your side. Picture the dark, rich liquid, a mirror to the soul of music, deep, complex, and invigorating. To all of you listeners out there, Skeleton Brew extends a special invitation. Visit Skeleton Brew Coffee at https://skeletonbrew.coffee to explore their collection of blends and find the perfect coffee to accompany your journey through the landscapes of jazz and beyond. Remember, every sip of Skeleton Brew Coffee is a step back into history, a moment to savor the richness of life, much like the music we celebrate here on Three Tune Tuesday. And as we rekindle our journey through the echoes of the past, let's now trace the arc of Paul Whiteman's meteoric rise to fame, a journey that saw him transform from a classical musician with a keen interest in jazz to the undisputed king of jazz in the 1920s. In the wake of Whispering, Whiteman's popularity soared, but it was his vision for jazz that truly set him apart. Whiteman envisioned jazz not just as a genre of music, but as an expansive canvas for innovation, where the orchestral grandeur of classical music could meet the spontaneous verve of jazz. It was this pioneering spirit that propelled him and his orchestra to the forefront of the American music scene. By the early 1920s, Paul Whiteman and his Ambassador Orchestra had become a household name, their records selling in unprecedented numbers. Whiteman's orchestra grew in size, becoming a lavish ensemble that included strings, brass, and reed sections, a testament to his ambition to blend jazz with the complexity and depth of symphonic music. This wasn't just an orchestra, it was a machine of musical innovation, with each concert a spectacle of sound that drew audiences in droves. One of Whiteman's most daring endeavors was the historic concert at Aeolian Hall in New York City on February 12, 1924, famously billed as an experiment in modern music. It was here that George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue was premiered, with Gershwin himself on the piano under Whiteman's baton. This event not only cemented Whiteman's status as a leading figure in the world of music, but also showcased jazz as a form capable of sophisticated symphonic expressions. Rhapsody in Blue became a symbol of the fusion between jazz and classical music, a fusion that Whiteman had championed from the start. As the 1920s roared on, Paul Whiteman's influence extended beyond the concert halls and recording studios. He became a cultural icon, shaping the soundtrack of an era known for its boundless energy and revolutionary changes in social mores and artistic expression. Through radio broadcasts and tours, both in the United States and abroad, Whiteman and his orchestra introduced jazz to a global audience, breaking new ground for American music on the world stage. Whiteman's rise to fame was not without its critics, however. Some jazz purists balked at his orchestrated approach to jazz, arguing that it stripped the genre of its improvisational soul. Yet regardless of the debates, Whiteman's impact on music and his role in popularizing jazz are undeniable to this day. His ambition and innovations laid the groundwork for the future of American music, bridging disparate worlds with a baton, a vision, and a passion for the art of sound. His song, 3 o'clock in the Morning, which was released in 1922, quickly ascended to become a defining anthem of the jazz age. Originally a waltz composed by Julian Rebeldo, with lyrics by Dorothy Terrace, the song found its perfect conduit in Whiteman and his orchestra, who transformed it into an expression of the era's complex emotions. 3 o'clock in the Morning evokes the stillness and introspection of the early hours, a time when the world pauses and deep reflections emerge. Whiteman's interpretation, with its lush orchestration and nuanced dynamics, invites listeners into a contemplative space, a rare respite in the bustling energy of the jazz age. The song's success even further solidified Whiteman's role as a musical innovator capable of really bridging the gap between popular and the profound, making jazz accessible and appealing to a wider audience, not just the jazz audience, but the classical audience as well. and beyond its commercial success. 3 o'clock in the Morning exemplifies Whiteman's orchestral approach to jazz, showcasing his skill in crafting arrangements that elevated the genre to new heights of artistic expression. It's time to take another pause in our musical odyssey for a moment to share something that is special and timeless to me. For those of you who found solace in the nostalgia of today's melodies and maybe of yesteryear's classic movies, if you've tapped your feet to the rhythm of history and felt the pull of the bygone era, there's a place where this journey can continue beyond the airwaves. I invite you to visit Blind Skeleton at https://blindskeleton.one, where there's a haven for those who cherish the vintage, the classical, and the historical. Blind Skeleton's a community, a gathering spot for those who love the golden age of radio, the silent movie era, the black and white film days, and, of course, the glorious epic of jazz we're exploring today. It's a treasure trove of articles and reviews and stories that delve deep into the art and culture that shaped our world. And for our Three Tune Tuesday family, we have a special invitation for you. By signing up for the Blind Skeleton email list, not only will you receive updates, exclusive content, and a direct line to the heart of vintage entertainment, but as a token of our appreciation, you'll also receive a special gift: The Vintage Lover's Guide to Coffee. This 40-page guide is a love letter to coffee through the ages, a journey into its history, a handbook for brewing the perfect cup, and the ways that coffee has impacted and has been impacted by the arts. It's a reminder that some good things, like a good cup of coffee, never lose their charm. At the zenith of his fame in the 1920s and 30s, Paul Whiteman was an unrivaled figure in American music. His orchestra was the most sought after in the country, setting the standard for what jazz could be with infused with its orchestral grandeur. The King of Jazz had not only popularized the genre, but had elevated it, creating a bridge between the worlds of popular music and classical sophistication. It was during this period that Whiteman commissioned and premiered works that would become cornerstones of the American musical repertoire, such as the aforementioned Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin, as well as Ferdé Grove's Grand Canyon Suite. Yet as the winds of change swept through the music industry and with the advent of swing in the big band era of the late 1930s and 40s, Whiteman's style began to wane in popularity. The public's taste shifted toward a new generation of jazz musicians like Duke Ellington and Count Basie, whose sounds captured the evolving spirit of America. Nevertheless, Whiteman adapted, experimenting with different musical styles and venturing into radio and television, where his presence continued to be felt strongly. In the later years of his career, Paul Whiteman remained a respected figure in music, dedicating himself to promoting American music and discovering new talent. His contributions were recognized with numerous awards, including a posthumous Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 2006, affirming his indelible impact on the music world. Whiteman's legacy is not merely in the records he sold or the concerts he performed, but in his bold vision of what music could be. He saw jazz not just as a genre, as previously stated, but as that canvas for experimentation, where the old and the new could come together and experiment and become something new and grand, and that's something that we still see in music today. The last song we're going to listen to today, Avalon, was released in 1920, and it was one of the crowns in Paul Whiteman's jewel. It had roots entangled in the rich soils of opera, and the song was born from the collaboration between Al Jolson, Buddy De Silva, and Vincent Rose, three giants in the music industry back in the day. Yet it was Whiteman's interpretation that would breathe new life into the composition, transforming it into a jazz standard that resonated with audiences across the country. The song's melody was inspired by Puccini's opera Tosca and was the subject of controversy and legal battle, ultimately leading to an acknowledgement of Puccini's influence on the piece. This intersection of jazz with the grandeur of opera is emblematic of Whiteman's broader artistic mission, to blend American and European music into a new, vibrant tapestry. Avalon speaks to the heart with its lyrical longing for a lost paradise, its rhythm swaying like the ebb and flow of the sea that separates the lover from his beloved Avalon. And as we close this chapter of our musical voyage today, let's carry forward the spirit of Paul Whiteman and the spirit of exploration, of embracing the new while honoring the old. In his music, Whiteman captured the essence of an America in flux, an America where the past and future dance to the rhythm of the present. I want to extend my thanks to each and every one of you for joining me today. It's your curiosity and your passion for the stories and melodies of yesteryear that make Three Tune Tuesday a real joy to host. Together, we can keep the legacy of artists like Paul Whiteman alive, ensuring that their contributions to the world of music and culture continue to inspire and enchant. Thank you again for your time and your ears and spending your 30 minutes with me. I am Bonaparte, bidding you a good afternoon or a good evening from my digital cottage in the sprawling digital countryside. And remember, in the whirlwind of the modern world, there's always a place here by the fire where the music plays on, timeless and true.